I'm going to turn this music off because otherwise this thing will get busted by George Lucas or some asshole. Mickey Mouse will destroy us. Hi, how's it going? I'm Adam Richard. Those of you that have come to see Justin Hamilton, I do apologise. He can't speak. He's saving his voice for The Shelf tonight, which will run for about 32 hours. But I do have a very special guest. Can I please welcome to the stage from the Steel Wars podcast and I Love Green Guide Letters, Steel Saunders! Hey, guys. Or Stanopol Sanderoz, as he's known in around the traps.
Hey, you guys. Good afternoon.
Hey. Now, I don't know if you've ever listened to the Shelf podcast, but they just sort of fade in.
Like, okay, yeah, I have. I
we'll
do.
Be in the middle of doing something. Awesome.
I wanted to be like part of like a proper one.
I should be really, if you want noises, you should just have a blinker going and me driving over the rumble strip on the freeway.
Is this here? At is this the right way to the stage? Shall I just hop up on this step, Justin? No, I've never heard the podcast.
Clearly. I can see you at the back. Hey, Moon Man. How's it going? What's going on?
Oh, my God. It's Lawrence Mooney. I've just spent the last 24 hours trying to save your career.
Did he say some bad things during one of your podcasts?
That's the Mr. Black family, Lawrence.
The Mr. Black family. Cheers, Lawrence. He's gone again now. You know, I did raw comedy with Lawrence Mooney in 1997.
Really?
I know.
Did they have comedy in 97?
They did. We used to do it on a stone tablet.
and it was just strictly airline food references.
Yes, that's all we did.
Well, of course, you, I was going to say refereed, but judged my first raw comedy.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, it was great.
Was I nice?
Yeah, you were super nice.
Oh, cool.
And
awesome.
This is a strange thing. My friend Clint... He's the drummer in Something for Kate, and he loves celebrities.
Right.
Like, he would, like, lick the sweat off Nui Dakoa's forehead.
Nui Dakoa's not a celebrity.
No, but he knows celebrities.
Oh,
he's our gateway to celebrity.
Because he does the Confidential in the Herald Sun.
Yeah, I was just in my own little world and didn't know what was going on. And I knew you were someone, but I didn't know... I didn't know why you were someone.
I was from the Fat Faggot Show. That was an infamous television show.
Actually said, he goes, "Oh, that gay comedian's a judge," and I went, "Oh, is he gay?" I was just totally devoid.
I know everyone. Like, do you know the worst thing about doing radio is people would think I was going to look like Joel Creasy because I sound quite, you know, thin and camp. And then they see me, they're like, "Oh, he's had a lasagna." Because you know how there's fat lasagna voice? Like, when people put on weight, if you listen to Kyle and Jackie O, Kyle has put on weight to the point now where there's fat pushing on his larynx.
And so when Kyle talks to Jackie O, it's like that. Oh, Jackie, you can't do that. Oh, Jackie.
I love fat voice. And
so when Jackie O says, "Oh, don't, Kyle," it just means get off me.
It means stop rubbing pizza grease on me from over there.
So I didn't know Adam. I knew he was a... some sort of vague celebrity. And
that is still continuing to this day.
if anything, you've gotten better at it. It's great. You're vaguer. And there was... I'm not sure if I've said this... And I was telling you about it the other day, but I'm not sure if... This is a fucked up thing, is I don't know what conversations we've had that are recorded or not.
We've had many conversations, both on and off.
Yeah. So there was this comedian... And it's quite a, it's an ongoing, like stand-up comedy in open mics, it's just the same people. Oh, hi, how are you? It's good to see you. Thelma's my biggest fan.
For those listening at home, that's one of the now ongoing visual references here in the Shelf podcast. Every single live one we've done, there's been something that like requires explanation, but I'm not going to.
Man, that must have just like rocked your world when Mooney put his head out. You're just like, not again.
No more Moon Man.
And so, yeah, in open mic rooms is where, you know, comedians go to practice and learn how to do comedy or learn how not to do comedy.
Or learn how to not do comedy in front of other people who can do comedy, who don't want to make fun of them when they're not around.
But it's always the same. It's like the same sitcom, no matter where you go anywhere in the world, that they're just, the characters are just played by different actors.
Yeah.
Like, there's always the gross dude that just talks too much to you off stage.
Yeah.
And then there's a dude that's like, he's going to be the next big thing, and he comes with his fully typed set list of every word, and he's got a tie on. But there's these same archetypes in open mic rooms around the world. And there was this guy on before me, and it was the first ever set I've ever done of comedy, and I was so stressed.
Raw was your first set?
Yeah, I took
bold.
I took the day off work. I was so stressed. It was just like, I felt like this was it. Like, I felt like that I was going, my first game was the grand final.
And see, when I first started, no one had jobs. It was the height of the recession. So we just used to all sit around being unemployed going, I suppose we should do comedy and earn some money for beer. Beers aren't going to pay for themselves.
And so this guy before me was a notorious, I worked out later, and I've met him many times, but as different people, of the guy that just does it for years and sort of just treads water. Yeah. And I got on, and I couldn't hear that guy's set because I was so stressed out. And my opening line was, I don't mean to bring the mood down. And then I set upon, and this is the sign of the times, a scathing 2 minutes on the Crazy Frog ringtone. Just laid into it. And hey, where's that Crazy Frog now, huh? Job done. Your next bolt. And so he died, but yeah. I didn't know because I was like, tripping out so much backstage, and he died. So when I said, I don't mean to bring the mood down, that was unknowingly a sweet, sweet burn to this guy. And everyone started laughing, and I couldn't work out why everyone was laughing.
Did it throw you that someone was laughing?
Yes, because I'd planned. I knew where the first laugh
that
was
still
meant
happens
to be.
When you see steel before.
If only it would happen when you're on stage. God, you've got the home ground advantage here.
I don't really care. And I just keep talking, laughter or not.
And then afterwards, you came up to me, and I go, "Guy, here's a vague celebrity coming to talk to me. This is awesome."
I love that that's on the pantheon. There's A list, B list, C list, vague.
And you go, "Oh, you know, really, you know, good job, good writing." And I was like, "Oh, thanks." And then you went to this other guy that was standing next to me that I'd unknowingly burnt, and you just went, "You should know better."
Oh, I think I know who that was.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Yeah. And because he'd been doing stand-up for a while.
Yeah.
I did this. I said the same thing to Woodbury once.
Woodbury did need it said for him.
We were doing... Do you remember I used to judge that Sunday Showdown thing that Dilruk used to host?
Yep.
And, you know, and we did it like Australian Idol style. So there were three of us sitting on, you know, stools. People would do their 5 minutes of comedy and then we would rag on them. Like, we would say very supportive and helpful things. And mostly it was really, you know, it was easy because they were really good and they didn't really need much said to them. But then Woodbury just turned up, I think in his... I think physically he was still out at a nightclub. But... Just he'd forgotten he had this appointment.
his bloodstream was definitely still out.
So, yeah, he just was... It was a mess. And I just, in front of everyone, I just went, oh, dude, you know better. This is not appropriate.
And he took your advice and look at him now. He's
I know. He's clean as a whistle.
And he's very, very hilarious. I should say, we're simulcasting this year.
Yeah.
So I should explain... We should, like, for the listeners of my podcast, Steel Wars, they're just like...
What is this shit?
Yeah.
Why are you still talking to some faggot? Like an actual one, as opposed to the other assholes that are normally on this show. No,
this book, why is still talking to this vague celebrity?
F-list.
So, yeah, so I should just... So, this is the Shelf podcast that normally Justin Hamilton, who's a very popular guest on our Star Wars podcast, and this is the verses. We're battling it out.
Yeah, like a comic book crossover.
Yeah, and you guys, one of my favourite episodes was the one where you're just in the at All-Star Comics, just...
I know, we're such nerds. We did one in the comic shop.
Like, but it was like...
A good comic shop.
The best comic shop. All-Star Rules. They're so nice.
It won an award in America. It's so good. And it's here in Melbourne.
And it was... I almost thought that episode was like... You'd gotten home and realized that you'd accidentally switched the recorder on.
And that's what the podcast meant to sound like.
Yeah.
That's why I do it sometimes in the car. So that, you know, you can get a real feel for what it's like to be in a car with me shouting at traffic. Because I don't realize I have driving Tourette's. Like, I don't notice it until I listen back to it that I'll be in the middle of talking to Justin and just go, oh, you fucking idiot, get out of the way. She's a dickhead. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. I can just barrel on like it hasn't happened.
I did one, a Shelf inspired, on the way. I drove to Adelaide for the Adelaide Fringe.
Yeah.
And I did a Steel Wars in the car.
Ooh.
And because it's like a, how long a drive is? Like 8 hours, nine hours, something. So I was like,
I only just go to the airport and back. That's as far.
Oh, no, it's not 9 hours.
It's eight.
Eight. So
did you stop? Did you go to the toilet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Was it a 9 hour podcast?
Close.
With urine?
Well, because I was worried I was going to go mental in the car just driving by myself. And I also, like, I was meant to work on my show, like my stand up show on the way there.
Oh, my God.
And I just needed to do something to put that off, like, in the car. Because, like, I had to listen to recordings and stuff. And it's just, oh, man.
So, do you do a lot of things in the car when you're meant to be actually driving?
I do a lot of just then a lot of swearing at other people on Punt Row. That was good.
Oh, that's right. You live off Punt Row.
Yeah. So I put it out there on the Facebook, on the Steel Wars Facebook. I said, you know, if you've got questions that you want us to answer, talk about Star Wars, and I'll do it on the way to Adelaide. And I cannot get over this, how good a time I had talking to myself about Star Wars. Adam, I am really entertaining.
Nobody interrupted you. No assholes poking you.
And so I had, when you record a podcast, you desperately like that, those little bites on your little recorder are very precious. And so I would stop recording in between every question, and then I'd read the next question. Sometimes I'd pull over at a petrol station, read the next question, then drive out and keep driving. And so it was all recorded in different little portions. So I was like, when I started putting it together when I was in Adelaide, I was like, oh, hopefully this gets to, you know, it's an hour and that can be this week's episode. Yeah. 2.5 hours.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You spoke to yourself for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Like a DJ at a radio station. That's the worst thing about working in radio is your boss is always someone that was a DJ and then they kind of went up through the ranks to become the boss of the radio station. And there is a special kind of pathology to sitting in a room for 3 or 4 hours playing music and talking to people who aren't there that makes them a little bit emotionally stunted. So that when they're telling you how shit you are at your job, it kind of feels like... You feel like they don't mean it, but also they don't care. It's like, yeah, that was terrible. You did a really bad job today. Anyway, we're going to pump out 50 more minutes of music. What is happening?
But the thing is, it was like being a DJ by myself, but I have found, I've done some research about show business, and apparently when you broadcast from somewhere else into a car, you get paid a shitload more than just doing it in the car.
That is true. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to Adelaide and I checked my bank balance and I'm like, oh, this is bullshit.
Yeah, no, and someone in another car would have to have been listening to it and be paying. Like, so I think someone has to do some advertising. That's where the money comes from.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I just thought there was just like radio money.
Yeah, that's the ABC, but there's not much of it. Like $8, they share it. They just share it around. So I wanted to talk to you about like Star Wars things that are kind of embarrassing that I personally love.
Yeah.
For instance, that fucking disco Star Wars song that was playing when you walked in. The video clip for that is phenomenal.
The funnest thing about Star Wars and YouTube and stuff is there's so much stuff that you haven't seen. Like,
yeah.
Like, I... Like, if there's a new thing, like that Christopher Pine thing, have you seen that?
No, which one's that?
You know, the Christopher Pine, the fixer.
Yeah. You know, I thought you meant Christopher Pine from Star Trek. I'm like, we're going way off topic here. I meant the actor that plays Kirk in the new movies.
He's in, like, so that stuff, like, it just goes, you know, I get it on my wall, you know, like 20 times in the first day because everyone's like, oh, you're still like this. And, but then there's like things like that are back in the 70s, which, you know, it's very hard. Yeah, you haven't seen them all, but. Like, when you get a new one like that, like, I was on Punt Road just then, and I was just, like, having...
We were watching YouTube in the car.
I thought I was back to Meredith. It was fucked up.
It's pretty fucked up. Yeah, I was just like... The dancing Darth Vader's. And but, like, the costume's so fucked, it's like, we don't want to breach copyright. We're doing the music, but not the costume.
Yeah, it's like they shelled out, like, $25 at Toys R Us. Just for the rubber band mask and stuff. And then they're sort of like doing aerobics to it.
Yes, it is weird.
Yeah.
But that was at a time when there was only one Star Wars movie. Like, I remember that time. I'm that old. And there was... The only other thing other than the one Star Wars movie was the Star Wars Holiday Special. with B. Arthur singing a song in the cantina.
Yeah. Well, what about the end where Carrie Fisher just... Like, sings a song to the theme of Star Wars.
I know. It is the most batshit. And it goes for like 90 minutes.
Yeah.
It's about as long as the movie itself.
Yeah, so the Wookiees all, like, it's their Christmas or their Thanksgiving, their life day.
Yeah.
Their life day. And then...
Then it was their non-denominational celebration day.
Imagine the fury at Wookiee like primary school when they, you know, we're not allowed to celebrate Life Day anymore. That is... Oh, the Ewoks have taken it too far. And so at the end, they sort of just trip out and then they all just walk through space into a star. And then once they get into the star, they're in a cave and they've all got like red cloaks on.
It's very peculiar.
And then Carrie Fisher busts out a song about loving your family, but to the Star Wars theme.
The irony being that she hated her parents so much of her life.
You can just see the coke drizzle out her nose.
It's distressing.
If only you were on the set to pull a Woodbury and go, you should know better, Carrie.
She wouldn't have heard me either. I would have told her that. But I was 7 when that came out. I watched that on TV when it was on. Fucking loved it.
It was on my birthday. It was on January 15th. And when I was a little kid, and I remember going up, like we had another TV in our bungalow, and we went up and like they said, oh, there's this, it was on at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like I remember, I could not believe it. Like it was on
my birthday.
Was
that a repeat or was that the real one?
Oh, I don't know.
Because I remember the real one being on prime time.
No.
It was on at night time.
No, this was on, it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
And I thought that my parents had organized it.
For your birthday.
Yeah. So I was just hugging them extra hard. And I don't know, when you're young you just think that. I remember going to see Xanadu at the...
that was a disappointment. Even at the age of 8.
Man, it's a bad movie when a gay man's not impressed by Olivia Newton-John on roller skates.
My grandmother took me to see You Can't Stop the Music, the Village People movie, and I loved that, although there were boobs in it that was confronting. Which I thought, why are there boobs in this? It's mostly about men dancing. But yeah, Xanadu, I was like... I had the same response to Xanadu as I did to Tron, which is like, I really wanted to love it because it looked like it was amazing. And, it, you know, had amazing things happening in it. But then you get to the end of it and you go, I don't actually know what happened. And like, kids can pick up a story pretty quickly, but I just was like, nah.
Yeah, I can't remember what happens at the end of Tron.
At the end of Tron, they go and visit David Warner in the big Tron castle. I don't know.
Oh, that's right. But anyway, so we went and saw Xanadu in Frankston and... I didn't get that it was a movie, and I was like, oh, fuck, Olivia Newton-John in Frankston. All right.
You thought she was going to be skating.
Yeah.
At the Frankston roller rink with Gene Kelly.
Yeah, it was, but... I don't know.
What is this giant television, Mum? Where's Olivia Newton-John? I used to think the TV shows were... Like, I used to love watching, like, Cop Shop and stuff like that when I was little. And I used to think, what happens when they get sick? Because I thought they were live. Like, I thought, like, I knew it was TV, but I thought they did it live all the time. And so I was like, oh, what happens if they've got a cold? What do they do?
They get Adam Richard to come out and say, he can't speak today, sorry.
Yeah, JJ's not here. He can't solve any crimes.
The what about saying embarrassing things? I guess the Jar Jar Binks, isn't that the most embarrassing thing about Star Wars?
That was a you should have known better moment. Like, why didn't someone just say to George Lucas, what the fuck are you doing? Or is it because he was so gigantically scary and starting to actually look like Jabba the Hutt? They were afraid that, you know, his jowls were going to eat them.
Me nabba Jar Jar.
Like, yeah, Jar Jar was stupid. And I guess that was in the film. Like, all the other shit stuff were kind of outside of the movies a bit. Like, even the Ewoks were kind of, you know, fun. Except maybe Caravan of Courage.
Wait. By fun, do you mean the best thing ever?
Yes, still. They're the best thing ever. Dude, I loved them when I was a kid.
The Ewoks are so good.
Yeah, but Caravan of Courage really hurt me.
Star Cruiser.
It was that, like, I was, when I saw Return of the Jedi, I think I was like 13, 12 or 13, so still excited about that stuff. And then Caravan of Courage is when I was at that age where...
I like how you say, I was still excited about that stuff. You record a podcast in a comic book shop, Adam.
Yeah, I know. You're still excited about that stuff. No, I've gone back to there. But you know when you go through that period of adolescence, like 15, 16 years old, where if everyone likes something, it's shit?
Oh, yeah. So you were getting into that period where you had to pretend you're like girls.
Yeah. I think part of the reason I became gay was because everyone else wasn't. Oh, everyone's into girls. I totally hate girls. They're suck cock. Whatever. I may have just rebelled myself into homosexuality.
And on my feed, people are listening going, talk about Star Wars again! This is not the ignited lightsaber I was looking for. Is this where you wanted to take it?
No. Like, now this is something I've thought for a long time. Like, I do stand up about Darth Vader being gay and how, you know, because he's wearing all leather, like the village
people. You're
kind
of dressed like a gay Darth Vader today.
I know,
I've
just forgotten all my buttons. I ate them. But I, like...
If you had any more thinning black clothes on, you'd invert.
This was kind of an accident. I don't know how this... I just have so many dark clothes. I'm at the end of my washing pile.
Oh, it's tough during comedy festivals, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Because you go to wash things and I've got a front loader. It takes about 4 days.
Yeah, I'm cleaning socks on a need-to-wear basis.
In the shower. I just wear these clothes in the shower and then hang them up to dry. Peel them off as I'm cleaning myself. No, I kind of... Did I ever tell you about the time I did stand up? And at the, I was at the Comics Lounge doing my bit about Darth Vader being gay, and some guy in the audience is like, "Hey, hey, hey!" Like... Like I was maligning someone real. Like I was implying that, you know, his best friend was a homosexual and that was a terrible thing. But it was what? He probably was.
Oh, yeah. God. Okay. The 501st. A huge legion of homophobes. Is that what you're saying?
The Star Wars homophobe legion. No, but like I was talking about that. But when I think about it now... The weird... When Ben and Darth Vader first meet in that first movie, there is like a weird sexual tension.
There is.
It's like, oh.
Now I am the master.
Yes.
And that means he's now a bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, there's kind of like a... And then when you see the prequel ones... And you go, oh, okay, right. So Qui-Gon, like, inducted Ben into the... and then he inducted Anakin. It just seems like they're grooming each other. I've taken this somewhere very horrible, yeah. Haven't I? Yeah.
The most embarrassing thing about Star Wars is now you.
But no, when I was a kid, Darth Vader was my favourite. I loved him. I found Return of the Jedi to be a profoundly disturbing and upsetting movie.
Really? Because I was Luke Skywalker all the way. Does that, really? Does that make a lot of sense? Don't you reckon that's perfect?
Look at you in your light-coloured hoodie. Yeah. And here's me in my scary black evilness. Now let's get our lightsabers out and hit one another.
I'm petrified to find out that Adam Richards my dad. That is.
Luke, I am your father. I don't think you people could have children. That's why he cut his hand off. What? I don't even know what that meant, and you found that disgusting.
That's because you've established your character.
And it's disgusting. You know when I said that you didn't want me to have you on your podcast because I was going to talk about people putting lightsabers up their bum? Turns out you were right.
No, I didn't say that.
I know, I said
you
that.
You said that about what I said. And I was like, no, I was saving you for the comedy festival and then you... booked yourself so you couldn't even do it.
Well, we're doing it now. Calm down. But it was, I did become disgusted. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
I don't mean to make Star Wars putrid. Because no one has sex in Star Wars. Like, yeah, they have children, but there's no... Like, there was more sexual tension between Ben and Darth Vader than there was between Natalie Portman and Fuckface.
But there's those bits in... Attack of the Clones, where they're sleeping over at that nice resort in Italy.
Anyone who's been to a nice resort and stayed in a hotel knows that you never have sex. You're too exhausted from seeing all the sights at the end of the day. It's like, nah, maybe in the morning. I'll think about it.
They must have then. That's what.
Well, they must have. But he doesn't seem. He doesn't seem that into her. I think that was a failure in casting more than anything else. He's not the best actress in the world.
He's not the best actress?
Yeah.
Okay. But what about... they must... Like, this is the thing with Padme. Like, she's like saying that, you know, we can't hook up and all this. Mm. And then they have this fireside dinner and she's just in this tiny, like leather outfit. Like, I was ready to leave the Jedi Order in the cinema. It was insane. It was such a good outfit.
See, I never saw that. I just went, oh, God, why? There's only ever one woman in any of these movies, and they always dress like a complete slut. Like Princess Leia, when she's in the slave girl outfit, it's like, woo! Like it,
that wasn't her call.
No, it wasn't. But, you know, it was someone's call. Also, in Empire, like, she's having all that sexual tension with Harrison Ford, and they're like, it works and it's really good, and you know, there's almost kissing, and then there is actual kissing, and it's kind of exciting. And I never felt any of that in the other three movies. There was no, like, I was just like, are they gonna? Oh, of course they're gonna, because they have kids in about three movies' time.
What other what other three movies are you talking about?
The first three, you know, the first three that are now the second three, you know. One, two, and three. Those
are the prequels.
Yeah.
Okay.
I always speak about them in really disdainful terms.
Oh,
I'm
man,
sorry.
This podcast has turned into Back to the Future Part 2. It's jumping around the timelines.
But no, I really like the sexual tension between Han Solo and Princess Leia. Like, it's really good. Mm. And then that's what I kind of was hoping for, I think, with Padme and Anakin, but it just, I think because it started off, he was a kid and she was grown up, and I was just like, I don't really want to know where this goes. Yeah. I'm disturbed by this already, and it hasn't started.
Yeah, because when you hear, like, you know, people, and no offense to everyone that is listening, but when people marry their high school sweetheart hearts,
yeah,
it's just like, oh.
Especially if they were the teacher. It's like Mary Kay Letourneau all over again.
I don't get that reference, nor do I want to.
No, she was like a teacher and she hooked up with like a 13-year-old kid and then had his baby. There was a made-for-TV movie on the other week. It was awesome. It's terrible. But
wow.
And Rena Owen from Once Were Warriors played the mum of the kid. She went to jail. She went to jail. And then hooked up with him. Yeah. Yeah, she got out of jail, hooked up with him, had another kid, went back to jail. And he was like 13. Yeah. Yeah. See, everyone knows Mary Kay Letourneau. He was like 6 foot tall at 13. Like, it was terrifying.
Well, the only thing more disturbing than that story is how passionately this dude recounted it. Oh, Mary Kay!
But I kind of got that weird vibe from that first movie.
Yeah, well, they shouldn't.
After I got through the trade embargoes.
They never should have started Anakin that young.
No.
It should have been the same. I've got like a few issues with, light issues with OCD and stuff. And I like my Star Wars, I like them in a set of three.
Yes.
And I like them all to be in that, like, sort of 2 years apart time frame that they all, like, in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
And then when they did that one and then bounced 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man. My God. Horrible.
It wasn't right.
Nah, no, no good. And the, they just should have shifted, like, everything forward 2 years. Like, they should have,
Why? He should have been 16 or something to begin.
Yeah, and Darth, he should have become Darth Vader at the end of Attack of the Clones.
Yeah,
and then you'd see, like, just to see, like, to see Vader back just crushing in Revenge of the Sith. That's a Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
I love Darth Vader.
I know
it wasn't enough. I've been playing Darth Vader pinball at home on my PlayStation. It's very
the and so you're stinging for Darth Vader at the end of Revenge of the Sith, and then. It's so excited to see him. Like, that shot.
Which was the trailer and also the end of the movie.
Yeah, but it was brilliant. Like, yeah. It was, like, the way the smoke worked and then the, like, the breathing kicked in.
Yeah.
That was a masterful piece of, it almost didn't seem like the cinematography didn't seem Star Wars. It seemed from something else, like a really good new razor from Gillette or something. Like,
it does feel like, though, those first three movies, that are the second load of three movies, that all of them are just leading up to that one moment. It's like George Lucas has gone, oh, I've had this great idea for when he just stands up. Now, how am I going to milk money out of people for 7 years before that?
So you're so happy to see him. You're like, oh my God, Darth Vader is in this film. That's amazing. Yeah. And then they ruin your 20 seconds of joy with that horrible...
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, if you didn't like that, you're going to hate it even more once I put it at the end of Return of the Jedi. Don't stop doing... Like, I find it cheating when people... Like, it's so good when a sequel or a prequel to a film calls back really nicely to something in a previous film. But it's cheating... Like it's cheating when you then go back and then edit in that callback. Like, you know, when the comedian's on stage and they're like, oh, that was a callback to a joke I forgot to do. Well, you had 30 years to forget to do it, Lucas.
I don't like the re-edited old ones. Like, I still have a VHS player for the times I want to watch Star Wars.
Really?
Yeah. I've still got them all on tapes.
Nice.
I mean, they're blurry.
It is amazing seeing them that clear, though. Like, when you watch the Blu-ray, just... Like, when you watch a scene that hasn't had anything actually added to it, but...
That's like 30 seconds in the second one, isn't it?
The credits are amazing. It is... Because you've watched it so many times, it is. I find it quite breathtaking. Just like the first time you watch it, super clear. You just like, or even further back when, because we sort of grew up watching the video higher versions.
Yeah, or on TV, just with the edges cropped out.
Yeah, well, the video higher versions were like that as well. And then when they brought out the letterbox, and that was really
so excited.
But that was controversial in. I guess it would be the early 90s or something, because people were just like, oh, mate, you're not getting enough TV. Like, because the tops and bottoms are black.
Well, they had both. You could get both at the same time. Like, they had, like, the letterbox one had a big picture of it on the front. It's like, don't buy this by accident, dickhead.
But it was... And TVs were so small then and round that you were you had to really get really up close to the TV to get that... You know, cinema.
But then
you'd see extra. There'd be extra things in the corner.
Yeah.
Like in Return of the Jedi, like Dengar and Bosk and that are there. Like the bounty hunters, and it's just like, it was so cool. Just like, oh my God, there's another like 20% of the film to watch now. I'm just focused on that edge for 2 hours.
Okay, I'm gonna watch the left edge first. I'm gonna rewind it and then watch the right. But I kind of like, you know, people are like, oh, how could you watch TV like that with, you know, the letterbox thing? And now we watch television on our phones. Like, people watch TV on their phones, just holding it up to your eye like this. So I liked it better.
I reversed that, and I the other day did, you know, the phone, the FaceTime.
Yeah.
With Jackie in America on the plasma.
Get out!
I was in the fucking future. It was awesome. No, that's all you wanted in the future on the Jetsons and stuff, is just to have a TV, like a video thing, and I put it on the plasma. I'm like, that's it, we're fucking here. That's it. I've got to start looking forward to new things.
Did you do what I do, which is make yourself the big picture and her the small one? Put my boyfriend down in the corner. I'm like, yeah, anyway, honey, what's up? What's going on?
Hi. This...
I'm on TV a lot. I'm used to it.
Okay. but when during my call, like, no one came in and said, nah, that's not as good as previous calls, and cancelled it. So,
the joke about how I replaced all those cunts on Spix and Spix.
Temporarily replaced.
Everyone hated it.
Oh yeah, the flipping of the screen.
Yeah.
This is so, because Reese Nicholson on I Love Gringo Letters was saying how, oh, you know how you flip it around, you know, so you see yourself when you masturbate, not the partner. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, Reese, you know, people use Skype for other things as well. Like, I'm not sure what you think is happening when people are overseas and they go, oh, I've got to Skype my mum.
I don't think I've ever used it for that.
I can guarantee you I haven't.
It's the future. Why wouldn't you? We live in the future.
Dun, 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 dun.
His helmet is shaped like a penis.
Miss a podcast gone bombad. No buys. No buys.
Were you disappointed when they cast Brian Blessed in Star Wars? Because like, cause he's such a so associated with how camp that Flash Gordon is.
Nah. I don't know. He was the Gungan.
Yeah, he was
Boss Nass.
Yeah, he was Jar Jar's boss too.
Why do you look so different though? He was like a total other creature. He looked nothing like Jar Jar Binks.
He's really fat. And they had to paint around him with digital technology.
The biggest threat to Gungan culture is diabetes.
Type 2. But yeah, because when I heard that he was in it, I was like, oh, really? Like, he's already... Like, I don't know, I find it weird when... Because it happens on TV a lot where so they'll get someone from Star Trek to go into Stargate because they figure someone might watch it.
Mm.
And that kind of thing. And I just kind of go, oh, he's so... I don't know. He's so recognizable in Flash Gordon that it kind of feels like it was trying to make Star Wars tacky. Like, I mean, Jar Jar did that by himself. But
I don't like. Like, I like that they cast like unknown people, especially for the main roles, because people like John Boyega, who's in the film, and he was in Attack of the Block, and people are going, you've got to watch this film, it's amazing. And I'm like, no, because I don't want any like baggage from any other film. Like, I'll watch it afterwards.
After so, what's his face from Girls? Is that going to upset you?
No, because I haven't seen it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. But Jackie says he's really good. She loves that show.
Yeah. He's really, but he's quite revolting at times.
And coming often, from you.
And he's often naked. And there's no nudity in Star Wars.
Unless you're a girl.
Oh, and that's just if a monster attacks you and most of your costume falls away strategically.
What did you think of the teaser, Adam?
I really enjoyed it. Like, it's, you know, I like J.J. Abrams. I like the new Star Trek. I liked Mission Impossible 3.
I tell you what, this is one thing about JJ that does slightly bug me. He tends to like reuse concepts again.
Oh yeah,
like the
he's like a stand-up comedian.
He's the Crazy Frog ringtone of directors. There was that thing in Mission Impossible where I think it was Kerry Russell, television's Felicity. She had. You thought she died and she choked up water, and it was exactly sort of like, is it Charlie from Lost? It was almost a note for note scene from when Charlie was out in the jungle one episode and did the exact same thing. But I think I had this...
I got the impression he kind of... JJ worked on the first couple of episodes of Lost and then wandered off to do other things.
Well, that other guy was on. It was Damon Lindelof. He was on both as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He definitely wandered off.
He'd wandered off long after the first couple of episodes.
He said, I know, are you coming into the office today? And they're like, no, I'm working on other projects. And they're like, oh, others. Okay, we'll use that. Thanks. JJ's a genius. It was a long way around to get to that. Holy shit. So I had this revelation yesterday. I was,
She's had to take a call.
Okay.
She's a doctor or a drug dealer or something. Very important.
I'm listening to a podcast, Fleety. The
hopefully he's not going to want to get paid for this podcast.
Oh.
He's not even here.
Now, so I had this this thought, it's sort of worrying, but it's sort of exciting. People, like in Star Trek, I was listening to this podcast and they were sort of talking about J.J. Abrams and how there's, like, people in Star Trek, they, like, traditionalists are kind of angry at J.J. because he sort of made the original series null and void with all that time traveling.
No, it's inclusive. See, I'm the other way around. I'm the one where it goes, you watch all the other one and then Spock goes back. And so all of that happened, and this is now an alternate timeline because he's interfered. Yeah.
Oh, sweet, sweet brag. That is. This is the only room in Australia where people will be like, going, ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh my, that sounds like fun. Sorry.
Oh my God. It sounds like the Adam Richard of Facebook pages.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The bridge, like the Enterprise D was the one in Star Trek The Next Generation, and the bridge is like the one with all this like handcrafted wooden shit everywhere.
And they saved it.
Yeah.
Are they putting it back together in LA?
Yes.
I've met those people and at Comic-Con, so can't hang any more shit on you.
See, I really liked them. I'm more of a next gen. Like, you know, I like the old Star Treks, but I kind of only really watched all of them when they came out on Blu-ray, which was a mistake because you can see that where the ears are glued on.
But didn't they go back and re-release them all like with new effects?
Yeah,
stuff?
They had new effects, but they couldn't fix up the makeup. The makeup had been designed to watch on a TV this big in black and white.
You can still see Quark's blue tack.
Oh, no, that's the new ones. No, like the old ones, like the 60s ones.
Oh, okay.
They are, yeah. They're they just look really ropey. It's like, you know, Uhura will wander in and you go, is half of her costume falling off? Like, her dress isn't quite sewn up. But because on TV in the old days, like, yeah, we don't need, like, a whole set. Just paint, like, some lights.
Yeah,
people
yeah.
will think it's a wall. It looks hilarious.
But my thing is that I think that we've got to brace ourselves as Star Wars fans because I think he's going to do something. I think the film's going to be great, but yeah. I think he's going to do something that is going to split the fandom down the middle. I think there's going to be some sort of... I have no idea what it is. Dear God, I do not want to know what it is, but I think he's going to make his mark and do something towards the end of that film.
I don't think it's going to happen towards the end. I reckon it'll be about a third of the way through. And you'll be sitting there for the next hour going, I don't know if I hate this. You'll just be going, is this... I mean, all the Star Wars people and things are in it, but I don't know if I like it.
I just don't know how my... Like, I feel like I'm going to have to go into, like, training, like start, like, going to the gym with Cody or something just to prepare my body to withstand the pressures of watching this film. Like, I feel like it's going to tear me. Like, I feel like I'm going to have to, like, gaffer my
No, you know what you need to do is go in one of those immersion tanks where you have sensory deprivation.
I've got a voucher for one of those.
I reckon you need to do that for like a week before you see it. And then when you come out, you'll think you're hallucinating anyway. So whatever happens, it won't be that bad.
Yeah, no, I've got a voucher for... I'm going to use it. Jackie got it for me for my birthday. I'm going to use it after the comedy festival.
I honestly... Because J.J. Abrams is quite a visionary director, I think it will be... Something will happen that'll upset everyone. But I reckon if they wanted to just continue it on, you know, and just make everyone happy but slightly disappointed, They should have got someone like Joe Johnson, who I think is an amazing director. But, you know, he's done things that he did, like Jurassic Park 3, which I actually...
He did Winter Soldier as well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he did the first Captain America, not the Winter Soldier. He did the,
really?
The one in the war. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think he's a really good director, but he would not, you know, try to stamp it with his own thing. He'd be like, yeah, yeah, I'll make a movie, whatever. Whereas JJ's going to be there with his fucking lens flares, freaking everyone out.
The... Just so you know, in the gay community, lens flare has a totally different meaning, okay?
when we talk about aperture...
that's what... Yeah. It's when you say, close your eyes. Why? You've got to watch out for the lens flare.
Mind your eyes. It's lens flare time, everyone.
Yeah, I think he's definitely going to do something that's going to, really... And I'm excited.
I'm excited.
I'm so excited for it.
What about the rumor about Tom Cruise?
No.
No? No Tom Cruise? You don't believe it or you don't want to believe it?
There's no way. Like, there's no way. If you want to put a stormtrooper helmet on or something like that, bang, go for it. Yeah. Do it. Like, I think I've heard that is Daniel Craig, is that his name? 007?
Yeah.
James Bond. Apparently he's a stormtrooper.
He is pretty short for a stormtrooper.
Well, there is that one in the teaser. He's about half a foot shorter than everyone. So I'm into that stuff, but not, you can't put, you, like, Tom Cruise.
Because wasn't that the talk that after the door of the Millennium Falcon fell on Harrison Ford, they went, we have to write him more for Tom Cruise to do.
No.
That was what I heard. We should go. We're running swiftly out of time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This isn't like a 14-hour slot.
Oh, okay. Sorry, guys. So are you going to go see it at midnight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Are you going to come live podcast afterwards?
Okay.
I reckon that'll be... This is going to be your dream because I'm just going to be like there stunned and it's going to
I'll take over.
Yeah, no. But you're just going to be able to have like free shots at me and I'll just be there like...
How good was it when Tom Cruise gave the Star Trooper a gobby? I'm going to call them Star Troopers the whole time to piss him off.
It'll be like in Planet of the Apes, you'll be Charlton Heston and I'll be the dude that got lobotomized on the podcast. But it's so exciting.
It is really exciting. But it's like, are you worried that it's going to be, it's taking so long that, you know, you're going to be overhyped before it happens and that it can't be anything but disappointing?
I don't know.
Because I felt that with Phantom Menace, that there was so much hype and it was so... Like, you know, that ridiculous piece of music by John Williams was in the charts, for fuck's sake. Because people just wanted to see the video clip on Channel V.
You like that?
I loved it. I was bang up for Darth Maul. I did not like that he was gone after that.
That double-ended saber was a dream come true.
I don't like the one with the extra pointy bits at the end. That looks uncomfortable.
I don't know. I think I am worried about the actual day.
Yes.
Like I am. Like I don't. Like I actually. I am worried about. Like if
someone sees it and spoils it.
No, just if my body can handle. Like I feel like I'm going to faint.
You don't watch movies with your stomach. Like it comes in your eyes.
No, but just the whole experience. I swear to God, when I saw Attack of the Clones at the end, where like Yoda rocked up with all the clones, the Star Troopers, and from then on in the film, and then they save all the Jedi, and then when Yoda fought, like I was standing unknowingly in the cinema watching. Like I was like this, and afterwards Dempsey's just like, oh, that was hilarious. You were standing for 45 minutes with your mouth open.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that sounds like a huge night out with Adam Richard.
No one's standing.
But I felt in my body this euphoria, like this adrenaline that was like my body was generating that if the police caught me with it, I should be locked up. Like I just had this, like my body was generating like illegal drug levels of excitement. It was amazing. And I'm concerned and excited. And
you might need to take some beta blockers before the movie. Just a couple of pills. We have to leave.
Oh, okay, cool. Thanks very much for having us. It was awesome.
No, thank you for having me.
So, yeah, if you want to hear more, I'm trying to be professional for my listeners around the world. But yeah, so Adam and Justin normally, and they just talk about their life on the podcast.
No, normally we bitch about things that are happening in comics that we don't agree with. I yell at traffic. And yeah, Justin gets angry about things that really no one has a right to even care about. Let's not be angry about.
Yeah, so that's The Shelf. And then if you listen to The Shelf and you want to hear more blithering about Star Wars, listen to Steel Wars.
And you've got to go back and listen. If you are a Shelf listener and you haven't heard Justin on Steel Wars, he is very, very passionate about Boba Fett getting out of the Sarlacc pit. Yeah.
He's very passionate about the punch of the Sarlacc.
The Shelf just peters out. There's no end. It doesn't stop.
Oh, okay. So now the music's like...
Yeah, the music's come in and we've faded out ages ago. Yeah. That terrible thing that Scott Brennan wrote for us. It's awful.
Okay.
I'm not going to play it.
It's playing now.
It is. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, but people can't hear it because I faded out ages ago. Dun, dun. Dun, dun, I'm just going to leave him there. Thanks so much for coming, everybody.
Cheers, you guys.
We're doing another Talking Poofy podcast on the 19th of April, which Justin also won't be at because he hates the last Sunday of the festival and he's allergic to it. So, yeah, if you want to come and see Talking Poofy, it's revolting. Everything I said in this was quite mild. We ended up talking about prolapse porn last night. Anyway, that's a thing.
Thelma's running over to line up right now.
And still you're doing...
I'm doing my stand-up show, Bittersweet, 9 o'clock Thursdays to Sundays. It's about cats, comedy and romance. Aww. And then my other podcast, I Love Green Guide Letters, this week, about to go up. It's a landmark episode.
The one, the libelous, the most libelous one ever.
Yeah. It's, there's a 20-minute secret section and it's about... 87 Mr. Blacks, but it's Lawrence Mooney, Greg Fleet, and Fiona O'Loughlin.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You're an idiot. Why would you put those three people in the same room and record it?
I was like, oh, I've put together a real dream team. You know?
Oh, my God.
And then mid-podcast, I'm like, this is the nightmare team. So that'll be up now
That'll be like the Wrath of Khan. Like that'll be the night of the ego freakers.
Oh my God, it was insane. So if you want to find out, or actually if you want to not find out who Lawrence Mooney threatened to shoot in the face in a quarry. A very prominent show business identity. Listen to I Love Green Guide Letters. It's free on iTunes and on the internet.
And obviously, Steel Wars, you're doing live as well.
Yeah, every Sunday. So we've got two more left.
Cool.
Yeah.
So rush along and see those. You just Google them. I'm on Next Door doing hashtag FGT from Tuesday to Sunday. Tonight I'll be at The Shelf at the Toffin Town. There may be a ticket on the door. Or you can go down to Spleen where it's free. There's too much comedy on.
We've got to get rid of it.
We've got to stop it. Let's have an existentialist crisis festival. That'll be much better. Although, having seen half the show, some of them are that.
See you, everyone. Thanks heaps. You're awesome.
Thanks so much.